بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم. Together with our normal program after Fajr during the month of Ramadan concerning Dars ya Quran, in addition to that, this year we will be reading from a kitab just for a few minutes before we do the summary of what was recited in the Taraweeh last night. We will be doing a kitab concerning Aqaid, written by none other than Hazrat Hakim al-Ummat, Mawlana Ashraf Ali Sahib Thanvi Rahmatullah Alayh. The translation of it, we will be reading a few beliefs daily, and the reason for this is so that our beliefs are correct. Without correct beliefs, our iman is not correct. And without proper iman, then a person is, all his actions, etc., can never be accepted in the court of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. The first belief mentioned here is that the whole universe was non-existent. When Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala created the world, it came into existence. A very important belief. We are being bombarded from all sides with different type of propaganda concerning this aqidah, and we should correct our aqidah in this regard, that this universe did not come into existence because of a Big Bang or because of any other theory. It is Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala who created the world, and then it came into existence when it was non-existent at a certain time. The second belief, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala is one. He is not in need of anyone. He has not begotten any children, nor was He begotten. There is absolutely no comparison to Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. This is actually the translation of Surah Ikhlas, قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدْ. I will repeat that Allah is one. Allah is not in need of anyone. He has not begotten any children, nor was He begotten. In other words, Allah Ta'ala Himself was not the progeny of anybody else, nor does Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala has any progeny whatsoever. There is absolutely no comparison to Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. The third belief, Allah Ta'ala was always in existence and will always remain in existence. There was never a time when Allah Ta'ala was not existent, and there will never be a time where Allah Ta'ala won't be existent. Allah Ta'ala did not have a starting point, and Allah Ta'ala does not have an ending point. Allah Ta'ala was always in existence and will always remain in existence. The fourth belief, there is nothing similar to Allah Ta'ala, and He is completely unique. No creation has any similarity in anything with Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala is completely unique. We will continue. Last night, Alhamdulillah, the first Taraweeh, the first 1.25 para was recited, commencing with Surah Al-Fatiha, and then followed by the first half of Surah Al-Baqarah. Before we commence, we should understand that although this program has been called Dars-e Quran, where a summary or a gist of what has been recited, what had been recited the night before, is going to be explained, but we should understand that the Quran Majid is the kalam of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. And every word and every verse has such meanings, which is actually an endless ocean of knowledge. Such an ocean of knowledge which there is no end, there is no short to it. The more a person tries to understand the Quran and Majid, the more he realizes what he doesn't know. So much knowledge is contained in the Quran and Majid, and why not? Since it is the kalam of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. So, to even call it a summary or a synopsis of whatever had been mentioned is also incorrect, and it is an injustice. Because a summary can only be given of something when the person giving the summary has already encompassed the complete and content matter of whatever he is summarizing. And this is an impossibility. So just a few drops in the ocean of knowledge contained in the Quran and Majid will be presented, and to give us just an understanding and a glimpse of what is mentioned, what is the message of Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala towards insan, towards mankind. The other point to keep in mind, that any type of relationship with the Quran and Majid is not void of benefit. even looking at the Qur'an-i Majeed and touching the Qur'an-i Majeed with respect and reverence is also full of blessings and benefit. So, to benefit from the Qur'an-i Majeed, there are two vital points to keep in mind, and that is, first of all, to understand that this is the book of Allah Ta'ala. The grandeur and the greatness of the Qur'an-i Majeed must first be in our hearts, at all times. And the second is that we should constantly recite the Qur'an-i Majeed, and to even get more, that is also not void of benefit, but to even get more benefit is to read it with some understanding, and to understand what is the message of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala being directed towards us. For this reason, these types of programs are kept, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant our Hazrat great jazaa khair, how much he emphasizes, particularly to the graduates of the madrasa, that wherever they go, they must start these programs of Darse Quran, where the public are informed of what is the message of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala contained in the Quran Majeed. The recitation commenced with Suratul Fatiha. Fatiha means the opening chapter. Suratul Fatiha is called Suratul Fatiha because it is as if to say an introduction and also a summary of the complete message which is contained in the Qur'an-i Majeed. The message of the Qur'an-i Majeed can be summarized into three themes, and that is of Tawheed, the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Risalat, the Nabuwat of the Anbiya alayhi salatu wassalam, and also A'mal Salihah, that we have to now devote our lives according to what the wishes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and in His obedience. The in Suratul Fatiha, which has seven ayat, the first, second and fourth ayat refers to Tawheed. The third ayat refers to Qiyamah, and the last two ayats then refers to the straight path that is concerning A'mali Salihah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commences the Surah Al-Fatiha. Before that, we should understand that reciting the Qur'an-i Majeed, we have to recite Ta'awud and Tasmiyah. Ta'awud, A'udhu Billahi Minash Shaitani Rajeem, a clear instruction elsewhere in the Qur'an-i Majeed where Allah ta'ala says, whenever you recite the Qur'an-i Majeed, first seek Allah ta'ala's protection from Shaitan, who will always be trying to mislead us. So before reciting, Ta'awud has to be recited. And then Tasmiyah, that is Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. By reciting Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, Allah comes in the hadith, we have been instructed not only when commencing the recitation of the Qur'an-i Majeed, but at all instances, in every movement and gesture in our lives, whether it is a worldly activity, or what we can call a worldly activity, then too, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim has to be recited. The reason for this, the ulama explain, is that to orientate the mind of man towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in every action of his, whether it is a worldly action, so that worldly action also has a deeni inclination, and it is actually we are renewing our allegiance to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as in the pledge of alast, that is before we were even created, when we were all brought into existence in a certain form, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asked, am I not your Rabb? And each one of us affirmed that oh Allah ta'ala, definitely you are your Rabb. So by reciting Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, we are renewing that allegiance of that covenant and that pledge which we have taken with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah ta'ala, in Surah Al-Fatiha, Allah ta'ala in the first verse, Allah ta'ala mentions Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, that all praise is only for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, exclusively only for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then Allah ta'ala mentions his attributes. We will do the translation of Surah Al-Fatiha today in a complete form, because we recite this surah daily in every rakat. So we should all try and read, and one way to keep concentration in salat is also to keep in mind the meaning which is contained in the verses of Surah Al-Fatiha. All praise is only for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This itself also cuts off the root of shirk and confirms the fundamental belief of Islam, that is of Tawheed, because all praise is exclusively for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That means that even if we have to praise anything else or anyone else for anything, any excellence on his part, it is actually praise for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When we praise a work of art, we are actually praising the artist. Although not in clear words, but we are actually also praising the artist. So alhamdulillah rabbil alameen, all praises for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In Surah Al-Fatiha, we are also taught the manner of making dua. The dua comes in the fourth verse, but before making dua, we should always praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Alhamdulillah rabbil alameen. Who is Allah? Who is Rabbul Alameen? What is Rabb? We have to understand that Rabb is the exclusive attribute of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rabb means to nurture something or someone in a gradual and progressive way, in such a way where it is conducive to its well-being till it reaches a level of perfection. And only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has got this attribute, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala nurtures the whole of creation. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the Rabb of the whole universe. Al-Alameen refers to every type of creation. Allah ta'ala, who is Allah ta'ala ar-Rahman ar-Rahim? Allah ta'ala is most kind and is most compassionate. Maliki yawmiddin, he is the owner of the day of retribution, reference to the day of Qiyamah. Iyaka na'budu wa iyaka nasta'een. O Allah, only you do we worship, and only you do we seek help from. And then the dua, ihdina siratul mustaqeem. Every person, no matter what level of spirituality he might have acquired, he is still in need of hidayat. Hidayat, one is hidayat through the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam in the books of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And one level of hidayat is what we can call tawfiq, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala creates such circumstances and conditions whereby it becomes easy and actually enjoyable to act on the laws of Shariat. And a person completely then starts ignoring and staying away from all those things which earn the displeasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This level of hidayat is unlimited, the scope is limitless, and every person is in need of this level of hidayat. So we are making dua to Allah ta'ala, O Allah ta'ala, guide us towards the straight path, the path of those whom you have favored. Who are those people whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has favored? It is mentioned elsewhere in the Quran and Majid, four types of people: Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam, the Siddiqeen, the pious ones, and the Shuhada, that is the martyrs. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not define Siratul Mustaqim as Siratul Quran or Siratul Rasul. The reason being is that books itself are not sufficient without the men of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for our guidance. And the second reason is that the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will not remain with us forever. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has passed away. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has defined Siratul Mustaqim as the path of those whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has favored. غَيْرِ الْمَغْضُوبِ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا الضَّالِّينَ, not the path who have, of those who have incurred the wrath of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and nor the path of those who have gone astray, referring to the Jews and the Christians. The Jews are those who had incurred the wrath of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the Christians are those who have went into deviation. So Allah ta'ala has defined Siratul Mustaqim as that path in which there is no excesses and there is no deficiency. In technical terms, there is no ifrat and there is no tafrit. Ifrat means to go beyond the limits because of lack of knowledge or lack of understanding. And tafrit means where a person, knowing the limits of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but willfully and intentionally, he then does not fulfill those limits. And they are the Jews who earn the wrath of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Thereafter, very briefly, I know time is running out also, Surah Al-Baqarah is the longest surah mentioned in the Quran and Majid, and it was revealed after the migration, after Hijrat. And in this surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the first verse, ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابُ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهُ هُدَى لِلْمُتَّقِينَ, that Sirat al-Mustaqim and that Hidayat which we are looking for, it is to be found in this Kitab. So the Kitab is the Hidayat for Muttaqeen, although Allah Ta'ala has revealed this Quran al-Majid for the entire mankind. But only those people will truly benefit who have the quality of Taqwa, which we have to inculcate within ourselves. The month of Ramadan and the object of fasting also, one of that is to inculcate and develop this quality of Taqwa. Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala then mentioned what is the qualities of the Mu'mineen. in four or five verses, thereafter in two verses concerning the kuffar, and then in 13 ayat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the condition of the munafiqeen. What is iman? That also we have to understand. That with complete certainty and conviction, whatever Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has brought to us and conveyed to us from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to believe in that, that is iman. And iman, that iman is now recognized by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is iman bil ghayb, iman on the unseen. And that is why many things we cannot understand, but we have to bring iman upon that. What we cannot see, what we cannot fathom, the conditions of the hereafter, that is what is true iman. Certain qualities of the mu'minun are mentioned here, that they establish salat and they spend from what Allah ta'ala has granted to them, and they bring iman on all the revealed scriptures, and there is certainty and conviction concerning the hereafter. Concerning the hereafter, remember we have to have conviction and certainty that there is hereafter. Not just this thought that just in case, let me just believe in the hereafter. If there is a hereafter, at least I can say I was a mu'min. That is not conviction. That is just now to be on a safe side, I'm not so sure, but let me just say I believe in the hereafter. No, we have to have firm conviction that there is something as the hereafter. And we are meeting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala after passing away in the hereafter. Particularly Allah ta'ala then mentioned 13 ayat in which the qualities of the munafiqeen have been mentioned and the evil traits concerning, whether it's concerning the lying and their deceit, their treachery, and their spiritual ailments of greed, of pride, of haughtiness, of rebelliousness. All these things are mentioned here. So Allah, by studying these verses, we have to make sure that these traits do not come within us, because these are the traits which are to be found in the munafiqeen. Further on, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes mention of the creation of Adam alayhi salam and Hawa alayhi salam, and the test between the angels and Adam alayhi salam when it came to knowledge, and how the supremacy and the great status of knowledge is also emphasized. Thereafter, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions concerning the order which Allah ta'ala gave to all the angels to prostrate out of reverence and respect to Adam alayhi salam, and the subsequent refusal of Iblis to prostrate, through which he became accursed and he was rejected and thrown out from the court of Allah tabarakahu wa ta'ala. The lesson to understand from here is that the pride and haughtiness causes a person to become rejected in the court of Allah ta'ala, and thereafter mention is also made how Adam alayhi salam was tricked by shaitan to eat from the forbidden tree, and for which he was taken out of Jannat and put into the earth, and that also there are many wisdom contained in there that why this happened. Further on, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala thereafter in most of the first para makes mention of the Bani Israel, addressed to the Bani Israel. They are the Jews. When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam migrated to Madinatul Munawwara, those people who were in Madinatul Munawwara at that time, besides the mushrikeen of that who later on became the Ansar, accepted Islam, the Jews were also there. And they were by nature very rebellious and refused to accept the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah ta'ala addresses them and mentions his various bounties which he had showered them with, and how they acted rebelliously and insolently, to which they incurred the wrath of Allah tabarakahu wa ta'ala. Towards the end of the para, Allah ta'ala makes mention of Ibrahim alayhi salam, the trials and tribulations he was put through and how he passed all of them, and for which Allah ta'ala made him ja'iluka linnas imama. Allah ta'ala made him the imam and a guide for all of mankind. The construction of the Kaabatullah by Ibrahim alayhi salam and his son Ismail alayhi salam are also mentioned, and the dua Ibrahim alayhi salam made, رَبَّنَا وَبَعَثْ فِيهِمْ رَسُولًا مِنْهُمْ, and the answer of the dua was in the form of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that in his progeny, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is from the progeny of Ibrahim alayhi salam, how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepted that dua. So that is also mentioned here. And then in the second para, we will continue tomorrow concerning the changing of the Qibla. Mention is made of that, inshallah we will discuss that tomorrow.